national news.
Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the January 11th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Our starting line for Monday's show is African Athletics. Abe Gashau and Sige Gebrselassie won the men's and women's titles Sunday at the Great Ethiopian Run in Addis Ababa. The 22-year-old Gashau finished the 10-kilometer road race in 28 minutes and 19 seconds, 1 second ahead of his friend and training partner, Tadesse Worku. Abe Gashau also won the Great Ethiopian Run in 2016, and he sounds delighted with his 2021 title.
I'm happy. In competition, happy. In competition, hard. Training is hard. In competition, is good.
Meanwhile, Sige Gebrselassie, also 22 years old, won her first women's title in a time of 32 minutes and 32 seconds. The Great Ethiopian Run was postponed last year due to COVID-19. For Sunday's race, about 9,000 runners took part, which is more than 30,000 fewer than the last edition in 2019. There also were several coronavirus safety measures in place. The 9,000 runners in the mass race started off in three waves, setting off at 15-minute intervals, and everyone had their temperatures checked when arriving at the event. Everyone also had to wear masks before and after the 10-kilometer run. Now, many of the runners wore bright red and yellow T-shirts, and there was a festive atmosphere in Addis Ababa, with singing, dancing, and music. African football stars from Egypt, Senegal, and Gabon all scored goals over the weekend in English FA Cup action. Joining us now with more details is Prince Nesta. Sporty greetings, Prince.
Sporty greetings to you too, Sonny. Extra time goal from Gabon talisman Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang and Emile Smith-Rowe ensured holders Arsenal beat a stubborn Newcastle 2-0 in the FA Cup third round at the Emirates Stadium. The 31-year-old has now scored in all four of his FA Cup appearances, netting 6 goals in total in the competition. The Gunners have won the FA Cup on a record 14 occasions, winning 24 of their past 25 FA Cup third-round ties, with the only exception coming against Nottingham Forest in the 2017-2018 season. Senegalese Benjamin Sadio Mane scored a brace, with Jorginho Wijnaldum and Egyptian playmaker Mo Salah netting one each to help Liverpool progress to the fourth round of the FA Cup with a 4-1 victory over a young Aston Villa side at Villa Park. Here's Jurgen Klopp's take on the match.
First and foremost, we have to say that the kids did really well. So that's good. We scored a nice goal from that moment on. Didn't pass with the right speed. We had football problems. So and we solved it in the second half, the football problems with football. So that's good. Needed a little bit longer, but then it was completely clear, completely comfortable, and exactly like it should have been. But that's it pretty much.
There was Jurgen Klopp's post-match comments following his team's win against Aston Villa. Chelsea Cruz Pass League 2 outfit Morecambe with goals from English wing of Ghanaian descent Callum Hudson-Odoi, Mason Mount, Timo Werner and Kai Havertz, giving the Blues a much-needed 4-0 win, which certainly eases the pressure on manager Frank Lampard. with Lampard having fielded a pretty strong team given the level of opposition. Chelsea dominated possession throughout the game and were simply too good for the opposition. Here's Lampard's take on the match.
Got everything I wanted from the team. Professionalism in approach, how we took on the game. It's not an easy game that you're clearly expected to win, rightly so, with our squad. But you have to do the right things, and it made it difficult for us in the early parts, but well, got our goals, could have got more. And nice timing for us considering recent results. It was a good game and good confidence for the lads.
There was Chelsea manager Frank Lampard speaking following his team's victory in the third round of the FA Cup. An early headed goal by Scott McTominay capped an excellent individual performance that put Manchester United through to the fourth round of the FA Cup as they beat Watford 1-0 at Old Trafford. Tottenham Hotspur also put an end to the dream FA Cup run of eighth tier Marine as Carlos Vinicius scored a hat-trick for the Premier League club in their 5-0 third round tie win. Lucas Moura and 16-year-old Spurs debutant Alfie Devine completed the scoring as Jose Mourinho's side progressed from 40 of their last 42 FA Cup ties against sides from a lower division, including three against non-league opposition in this stretch. Marine, who play in the Northern Premier League Division 1 Northwest, lay 161 places below Spurs in the English football pyramid, the biggest gap that the cap has produced. Bernardo Silva scored twice in 15 minutes as Manchester City produced a polished performance to outclass Birmingham 3-0 and reach the FA Cup fourth round. Phil Foden further reasserted his credentials as one of the most gifted English players of his generation, as he netted another to help City make it 7 FA Cup home wins on the bounce, the best streak for over 70 years, albeit shy of the 14-match record set in January 1946. Mauricio Pochettino celebrated his first victory as Paris Saint-Germain coach on his home debut, as Italian forward of Ivorian descent Moise Kean set the reigning champions on their way to a 3-0 win over Brest. Substitutes Mauro Icardi and Pablo Sarabia added late goals for PSG on a freezing Parisian night in an empty stadium, with supporters still barred from games in France with a nighttime cafe in place nationwide as part of the fight against coronavirus. The Parisians remain second at the season's halfway stage, a point behind leaders Lyon, who came from two goals down to draw at Rennes and secure the symbolic title of autumn champions. Lyon snatched the points with two goals in the final 11 minutes, with Dutch footballer of Ghanaian descent Memphis Depay chesting the ball down and volleying in his 11th of the season, before Belgian footballer of Congolese descent Jason Denaya headed in the equalizer. And moving on to the Spanish La Liga, Barcelona extended their unbeaten run to 8 league matches as 6-time Ballon d'Or winner Lionel Messi and Antoine Griezmann both struck twice in a dominant 4-0 win at Granada. Messi is now the leading goal scorer in the latest edition of the Spanish top division with 11 goals from 17 appearances, while also providing 4 assists. Barca have now won 3 games in succession for the first time in the 2020-2021 La Liga season, and they move into third place in the standings with 34 points from 18 games. Real Madrid missed the chance to move above leaders Atletico Madrid in the La Liga title race after drawing 0-0 at Osasuna. Zinedine Zidane's side struggled on the night as Los Blancos failed to register a single attempt on target in the first 45 minutes. Real now moved to just a single point behind Diego Simeone's league leaders, but Atletico Madrid have 3 games in hand after their clash with Athletic Club was postponed. Moving on to the Italian League, five-time Ballon d'Or winner Cristiano Ronaldo became the joint highest goal scorer of all time after netting in injury time for Juventus in a 3-1 home win against Sassuolo. The 35-year-old has now equaled Josef Bican as the top of the charts on 759 goals for club and country. It was a third successive victory for Juve, who climbed to fourth, 7 points behind AC Milan, when 3 points clear the top of Serie A with a comfortable 2-0 home win over Torino, as Swedish striker Zlatan Ibrahimovic made his comeback from injury. The league leader says 27-match unbeaten run was ended by Juventus on Wednesday, but they showed little sign of dwelling on the result, as a Portuguese footballer of Angolan descent Rafael Leao strike and Ivorian footballer Frank Kessie's penalty gave the hosts a commanding lead by halftime. The result leaves Milan on 40 points, 3 ahead of rivals Inter Milan, who secured a 2-2 draw against Roma. I'm Prince Nesta on the Sunny Side of Sports. Back to you, Sunny.
Thanks, Prince. Prince Nesta does spicy roundups of the weekend action in the major European football leagues on Mondays, right here on the Sunny Side of Sports. Samson Omale joins us now with a package of African badminton and African football news.
Host nation Cameroon has agreed to let football fans attend matches ahead of the forthcoming 6th edition of the African Nations Championships, otherwise known as CHAN. The 3-week tournament will take place from January 16th to February 7th after it was rescheduled from April 4th to the 25th last year due to the outbreak of the coronavirus pandemic. The announcement comes a week after the Confederation of African Football authorized the presence of fans in stadium for competitions. Staying with football news, South Africa striker Percy Tau is back at English Premier League side Brighton and Hove Albion after a series of loans and is now raring to go in the Premier League. Brighton's Percy Tau joins a number of South African footballers who have piled their trade in the UK. The 26-year-old trained with his Premier League side for the first time this past weekend and seems poised for a debut soon.
We normally don't have so many of our players playing in England. We used to in the past, but then at the moment we don't have much. It's also given them pride to see me.
Away from football news to badminton, where 63 players featured in the Badminton Nairobi Open, which began on Sunday at the Ski Union Sports Club in Nairobi. The championship is a build-up to the upcoming Olympic qualifying rounds that will be held in Uganda, Kenya, and South Africa. Peter Muchiri is chair Badminton Kenya.
For us, actually, it's a race against time. Because, we have two players who are actually on course to qualify for Olympics. And we have two international tournaments coming up in Feb and March. So for us, it's a race against time to prepare a team.
I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Hi, I'm Francis Tiafo. You're listening to Sunny Side of Sports on Voice of America.
This is the voice of America, Washington, D.C.
Douglas Mpuga joins us now with more African sports news. And Douglas says he'll be kicking off with African club football's top tournament.
The draw for the 2020-2021 CAF Champions League group stage was done at CAF headquarters in Cairo on Friday. Last season's title holders, Al Ahly of Egypt, will face AS Vita of DR Congo, Simba Sports Club of Tanzania, and El Merrikh of Sudan in Group A. In Group B, TP Mazembe of DR Congo, Mamelodi Sundowns of South Africa, El Hilal of Sudan, and Belouizdad of Algeria. Group C has Wydad Casablanca of Morocco, Horoya of Guinea, Petro Atlantico of Angola, and Kaizer Chiefs of South Africa. And Group D is Esperance of Tunisia, Zamalek of Egypt, MC Alger of Algeria, Antoine Guez of Senegal. The group stage kicks off in mid-February and concludes at the beginning of April 2021. Also on Friday, the draw for the 2020-2021 CAF Confederation Cup additional second round was done in Cairo. The draw paired the sides qualifying from Confederation Cup second preliminary round against sides relegated from the same round of the CAF Champions League for a place in the group stage. Meanwhile, the Confederation of African Football, CAF, has ruled that just two of the five candidates for March's presidential elections are eligible so far, with President Ahmed not among them. The Malagasy has been declared ineligible given his five-year FIFA ban, although his camp has slim hopes as an ongoing appeal to the Court of Arbitration for Sport would change this. So far, both Ivory Coast football president Jacques Anoma and current Senegal FA president Augustin Senghor have been authorized to contest the March elections in Morocco. Further checks are required before either Mauritanian FA president Ahmed Yahia and Patrice Motsepe, the South African who owns Mamelodi Sundowns, can be added to the list of candidates. The elections determine who will lead CAF are set to be held on March 12th in the Moroccan capital, Rabat. And in athletics, Olympic long jump silver medalist Louvé Manyonga has been provisionally suspended for three breaches of anti-doping rules in 12 months. The 30-year-old South African, who has battled drug addiction in the past, could be banned for 2 years for the whereabouts failures. The delayed Tokyo 2020 Olympics are scheduled to start on July 23, 2021. Manyonga is among the favorites to win gold in Tokyo after winning the 2017 World and 2018 Commonwealth titles. In 2012, Manyonga was banned from athletics for 18 months after testing positive for crystal meth. Under World Athletics anti-doping rules, any combination of three whereabouts failures within 12 months is a violation. If Manyonga accepts the ruling, the Athletics Integrity Unit could issue the maximum sanction of a 2-year ban. He could also appeal. In May 2020, Manyonga was fined for public drinking and contravening South Africa's strict lockdown restrictions. And Tunisia's National Olympic Committee has banned the president of the country's football federation, Nadi Djeri, for 4 years. In a statement, the committee said Djeri had breached national and international Olympic ethics codes. The committee will now be sending any complaints against Djeri to both the IOC and FIFA. Djeri has governed the Tunisian Football Federation since 2012. He's hoping to become a member of the executive committee of CAF when elections take place in March. For now, it's not clear how the ban will affect his candidacy.
Thanks, Douglas. Douglas mentioned how the Tokyo Olympics are scheduled to start on July 23rd. With the Japanese capital currently under a COVID-19 state of emergency, there are still many doubts about whether the games will come off. Little is known about how the coronavirus affects athletes. South African researchers are leading an international effort looking for answers. Marisa de Klerk reports from Pretoria.
South African Olympic hurdler Venda Nel is grateful to be back on track after recovering from COVID-19, the disease caused by the coronavirus.
It was about 2 to 4 weeks that I've took it very slowly with the training, checked my heart rate every training session, just monitor that. And from there, I actually went into full program and I feel stronger, fit, and actually fully recovered right now.
The International Olympic Committee tasked a prominent South African sports physician, Martin Schwellnus, to lead international scientists in compiling guidelines for doctors treating athletes recovering from acute respiratory infections, including the coronavirus. The University of Pretoria's Sport, Exercise Medicine and Lifestyle Institute, SEMLI, through the IOC Research Centre in South Africa, initiated the International AWARE Research Study as part of this work. The project includes data from the COVID-19 recovery clinic for athletes. Dr. Schwellness, who is a professor at the University of Pretoria and the director of SEMLI, says COVID-19 seems to affect various organ systems.
In the returning to sport, it could result in medical complications. And to date, we don't really know what these are for COVID. And so the focus of the project is to investigate what happens in the athlete when they've had COVID and how does the body heal and respond.
The project uses an online survey to gather data from any person training regularly for 3 hours a week who had acute respiratory infections, including COVID-19. Those recovering from the ailment can join the COVID-19 recovery clinic for help returning to sports. Medical doctor and amateur triathlete Marcel Juister joined the clinic after he recovered from COVID-19, which he caught from a patient.
I'm expected to follow a specific return to play protocol in terms of what I'm allowed to do in terms of exercise. That is if I have passed all the testing, and then I am required to give them feedback in terms of how I feel following training.
17, 18, 19, 20. The research examines COVID-19's impact on all organ systems. According to preliminary findings, athletes who've had COVID-19 find low-intensity exercise to be harder and recovery time much longer than from other respiratory infections. Evidence-based guidelines should help recovering athletes to better and more safely prepare for the Tokyo Olympics, says Kelly Muller, rehabilitation specialist at the University of Pretoria's SEMLI.
If an athlete does happen to contract COVID-19, it would be really important and really valuable for the coaches and medical professionals to have evidence-based advice to guide that athlete back to their performance in the shortest time possible.
For Vinda Nell and other Olympic athletes recovering from the infection, the research could help them come home from Tokyo as champions. Marisa de Klerk for VOA News, Pretoria, South Africa.
Hi, this is Tatiana McFadden, 17-time Paralympic medalist, 7-time gold medalist, 17-time marathon champion, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on Voice of America.
In English Premier League football news, Aston Villa's match against Tottenham Hotspur on Wednesday has been postponed because of a coronavirus outbreak at the Midlands club. Before the postponement, Tottenham's manager spoke about what the delay would mean for the Spurs. Joining us now is VOA's Gwen Uten. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Jose Mourinho had the possibility of a postponement on his mind when he spoke to reporters ahead of their FA Cup third round victory on Sunday. And the Hotspur manager said he hoped the Premier League would show leadership and do everything possible to avoid further postponements over COVID-19.
I believe that is a completely impossible situation for a club to have three matches postponed, especially if that club plays in Europe. So for a Europa League team to have three matches postponed is impossible.
The Spurs were already juggling a cramped fixture before their postponed match against Aston Villa was announced. The overcrowded schedule includes commitments in the Europa League due to start in June, and Mourinho predicted a postponement would only create more chaos.
If we don't play against Aston Villa, we will have three matches postponed, and that is impossible because after the season, we have the Euros, and of course the Euros are not going to be moved.
Days ago, the Tottenham side had a close call with the virus following a League Cup semifinal victory when their Brentford opponent returned two positive COVID-19 tests. But Mourinho says his entire squad has tested negative in the latest round of checks and were prepared to face Aston Villa despite concerns. And with their winning streak, Mourinho says the Spurs can't afford to slow down.
The only thing that we can say is that what we did in the beginning of the season is impossible to repeat, and we refuse to repeat because then we have to defend our players, we have to defend the integrity of our competitions, and we would never accept to play 7 matches in 3 weeks like we did before because of the moment of the season. One thing is beginning, another thing is mid-season, and also because of the difficulty of and the demanding of the matches, because one thing is to play with all the risk, but we did the Europa League playoffs, another thing is to play Europa League knockout where all the best teams are there.
With the postponement, Tottenham will now face Fulham on Wednesday. Fulham's match against Chelsea has been moved to Saturday. The coronavirus not letting up on the game of football. Stay tuned, sports fans. And that's all from me. Back over to you, Sonny.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. Let's give a Sunny Side of Sports birthday salute to Christian Chukwu, the former Nigeria football captain and national team coach, who celebrated his 70th birthday recently with friends and family. Now, Chukwu has had some medical issues in recent years. In an interview with Iron Mike Mbonye, the man nicknamed Chairman expressed gratitude for his health.
I feel happy. I thank God that has kept me until today. And I wish the Almighty God will still protect me to get to 80 and more.
Looking back over the years, how would you see the standard of football in Nigeria from your own days to the present day?
Well, you know, when we played football, we did not play professional, we played amateur. And by then, so many people who are not talented are not interested in the game. Even our parents want us to be doctors, engineers, and so on. But because we have the raw talent, you know, then you can get real footballers on time, or like now. You see now, because they have found out that there is money in football, the parents can buy books. They see everything for their kids and bring to the field and say, coach, please, send this boy. So I believe that during our own time, the standard was higher than now.
Do you think Nigeria has potentials to produce big names like Christian Chukwu, Shego Odegbami, Aloysius Atuebu, and so many other big names and big stars that played with you in your playing days?
Yes, I see Nigeria producing it if they follow the right way. You know, if they follow the right way, do the real scouting, give the people that have the talent the opportunity to achieve their talent, we will get there. It's not like now we have a white coach who believes in foreign players. How can he invite 30 players, all foreign, without a local player? It's not good. Do I have a secret? But I believe in God. That's the first and foremost, you know, and I make sure that I live the righteous way. And by that, I believe they gave me the longer life God gave me.
That's Christian Chukwu, the former captain of Nigeria's national men's football team. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Enugu, Nigeria.
Sporty greetings. This is Chairman Christian Chukwu, former captain of national team Green Eagles, former coach of Super Eagles, former coach of Kenya national team, former coach of Safa of Lebanon. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman. The Sunny Side of Sports remembers Baseball Hall of Famer and longtime Los Angeles Dodgers manager Tommy Lasorda, who died January 7th at the age of 93. The AP's Ed Donahue reports.
Lasorda had been with the Dodgers for 71 years. He often said, "I bleed Dodger blue." He led the team to two World Series titles. Among Lasorda's career highlights, a dramatic home run by Kurt Gibson that helped the Dodgers beat Oakland in the 1988 World Series.
A shot heard around the world. It was a shot that really paralyzed a team. They never recovered from it.
The Dodgers say Tommy Lasorda died of a heart attack. I'm Ed Donahue.
Thanks, Ed. And that wraps up the January 11th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.